How are you guys? Turn to your neighbor and say good morning. Come on, good morning. Don't be shy. Right? Don't be shy. I am so enjoying the series on finances, on money, on generosity. Can you say amen to that? Yes, and the series called With All My Heart, today's our third installment of this, With All of My Heart, right? We began it 2 weeks ago, say with me, 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, let's see who can remember, our first point was that God must be first, right? Why? God can't be anything other than? God can't be anything other than? First, he can't, he's God. So he must be first. And then last week, we were touching on tithing. And the first point that we touched on was that we have to admit that we are the problem, right? Am I the drama? Turn to your neighbor and say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. I can tell you right now, you are. If you're asking, you are. Okay? And basically admit that finances, we're the problem in this, right? We are the problem. Admit that we're the problem. Number two, know that God is the answer. More money is not the answer. Come on, you guys. More, you've come here and you're a lot of us, right? We ask God for blessing. We ask God for a bonus. We ask God for more pay. We ask God for a better job. But just so that you know, more money is not the answer. God is the answer. Can I get an amen? Number three, thank you. Tithing is a test. Let's give God the glory on that. God is the answer. Number three, tithing is a test. Payday is test day. What's payday? Exactly. Every payday is a test day. Why? Because it's the only place where God actually said, test me. So not only do we take a test, but number four, we also test God at his promise. We're also able to test God in tithing, and he promises that he will open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessing, even more blessing than what we can store. So it's going to be abundant, right? Can you say amen to that? So in reality, we need to know that we need to test God in what? What is this test? That we trust God. That we know that 10% in God's hands is better than 100% in mine. Can I get an amen to that? Why? Because we trust God at his promise, and he has promised it, and we are blessed. I was created for a blessed life. Do you believe that? I was created for a blessed life. Can you say that? I was created for a blessed life. If you have your spouse next to you, if you have your significant other, you know, that person that you want to get closer to, turn to them and say, we were created. Come on, you guys, don't look at me. Turn to that person and say, we were created for what? For a blessed life. Can you believe that? That you were created for a blessed life. Some of y'all don't believe it. Some of y'all are like, no, my family's always been in poverty, or my family's always been on food stamps, or my family's always struggled. Like, I know the system. Like, I've always been part of the system. I'm always requiring help from someone else. Well, let me tell you that God himself has promised that he has blessed you. And as children of God, we need to believe that, that I was created for a blessed life. Can you say it with me? I was created for a blessed life. Now, you know why some people have a problem with it? Some people have a problem with saying it because they're ashamed of it. They're ashamed. There's like this shame that comes with blessing because this is the poverty gospel. The poverty gospel gets into churches, right? And the poverty gospel is like, you can't have anything because then you'll be, it's evil, right? Because money is evil. Rich people, they're filthy rich. That should sum it up. Filthy rich, right? You're filthy rich. You don't have a heart. You're not generous. You know, you're this, you're that. I'm like, really? Right, we have this poverty mentality, and some people are like, oh, you know, they'll come up to us, and they're like, Pastor, you know, if you ever need anything, if you need us to pay one of your bills or something, I'm like, looking at them like, I'm not a charity case, you know, and there's nothing wrong with people that need help, but I'm saying, like, this isn't the gospel that I've been taught. I haven't been taught where, you know, our artist isn't like seeing who is going to give us a handout. No, it's like we know how to work. We know how to pray. We know how to believe in God. Amen. And we believe that we have been called to live a blessed life. Can I get an amen? And a blessed life is not just material. It's in all of the aspects. And we have to always keep on saying this because people are like, oh, they just talk about money. No, we don't. Just in this month. Okay. Then we have the prosperity gospel. Then it's name it and claim it at the other extreme, right? So we have the poverty gospel. It's like you can't have anything because if you do, then you're conceited or whatever. You're not holy. But then we have the prosperity gospel. It says, you know, you just name it, you claim it. Everything's materialistic. You're so focused on the material that you're just always asking God for material blessings. You think that that's the only reason God is here. So you come to church when you have a problem, right? Because you feel like there you're going to be closer to God. So in the same way, they're two extremes, but they're still unfocused. They're still not right. They're both within themselves have error. So much the prosperity gospel as a poverty gospel. But we are not going to be focusing on this poverty gospel or this prosperity gospel. We're going to be focusing on the gospel of purpose. Say with me, purpose. Yes, because 1 Samuel 15:22 says, obedience is better than sacrifice. So at the end of the day, I don't need your sacrifices. I need your obedience, right? So not prosperity and not poverty, but purpose. I was created to live a blessed life. Why can I say it with such intensity? Because I believe it because the word of God says it. I'm not saying it. I'm just repeating something that is in his word. The problem is we don't know his word. So whatever devil comes at us and shouts us a lie, and we take it and we own it. But let me tell you, you were created for a blessed life. Come on, you guys. I'm not going to stop saying it until you are sure of it. Why are we blessed? Why am I blessed? And that's the title of the message for today. Why am I blessed? Why, Pastor? Why does the word of God say that God blesses us? Why is this important to live a blessed life? God's plan to bless people so that they will bless others runs through the entire Bible. It is from the very beginning of the word. You can go to Genesis and you could look all the way to the last verse and you will see in the entire Bible how this is a common thread. In the New Testament as well as the Old Testament, what we experience in our relationship with God is supposed to end, not end with us, but we should be a channel to bless other people. That's why we should be disciples, right? Disciples are students. And what was our message? Our message is to give the good news. But how can we give good news when we live an awful life? We talk about a good God, his good news, his goodness, right? And not everything that the devil wants to come and convince us that's not of God, okay, you guys? So God gives to us so that he might work through us to bless other people, right? We are not a bucket, but we are a pipeline. We are not a lake, but we are a river. Some of you guys are like, I'm not, you know, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm a river. Really? When was the last time you were a blessing to somebody? When was the last time you invited someone to eat? When was the last time that you went and just mowed somebody's lawn or did something for them? You can be a blessing. We can be a blessing to people with our words, with our actions, right? It's like time, treasure, right, and talents. We can bless people with these three T's. We need to be blessed to be a blessing. Blessing. The word of God says that we are forgiven in the same way that we forgive. It's the whole thing again. We love others in the same way that we love ourselves because first we loved God. Again, it's God says, I've loved you, now go and love others. It's always giving to us, pouring into us without an expectation of us holding on to anything. It's actually always a channel so that we can bless other people. Graced with his blessing in order to become a blessing. Did you know giving is a grace? People have a grace for giving and other people don't. They struggle with this. A grace is something that is God-given. And some of y'all are like, this is mine, right? One of the first words that babies say is no, right? And the second word, moms or dads, mine. know mine. Say it with me. Know mine. Know. Come on, guys. Know mine. What do they say? Know mine. What do they say? Some of y'all, when the tithing comes around, you have regression. You regress right away. You're like, do-do-da-da. Know mine. Don't go there. God, don't go there. I call you into the cancer. I call you into the divorce. I call you into my relationships, but just don't go into my finances. Know mine. Cancel it in the name of Jesus, right? We were created to make a difference, guys. In Genesis 12, 2, God's promise to Abraham. He said, I will bless you and make your name great. And the church says, amen, right? We're like, yes, I love that. Yes and amen to that. But there's a comma. This verse didn't finish there. It says, so that you, what does it say? Didn't say it, you read it from the Word of God. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will promote you. I will give you the position you want. I will give you all of the desires of your heart. Why? So that you can be a blessing. See, everything that God pours into us, if it's intellectual, right? If it's wisdom, even I believe that even because the Word of God says that he will use all of it for our good, like even the bad stuff. I feel like things that I've gone through and I see someone going through the same, it's like, man, I could really empathize with you. I pray for them differently because I really feel what they're struggling with. You know, so even those things that we don't find a purpose in, God uses it for his purpose. God does not say here so that you can buy expensive clothes, which you can, right? He doesn't say, I'm going to bless you just so you can buy expensive clothes. So you could eat. I saw a show the other day. My husband loves Billions. And it's like they're having caviar on their pizza. And I was like, I've never had caviar on my pizza. I think I've only had caviar like a couple of times. It was like this little bit of it, right? But they are literally lumping on the caviar on their pizza. I'm like, how much money do you have to eat a caviar pizza? Oh my gosh. Right? And some are like, oh, I just want to be rich to be on my yacht. I just want to be rich to eat the caviar. You know, he doesn't say, I want to give you wealth so you can prove that you're better than others. Because that's usually what we do. Right? We don't wear the clothes. The clothes wears us. Come on, you guys. Let's keep it real. We have to not allow that. We have to be so in tune with who we are in God that clothes can never wear us. Right? That we just wear the clothes, but they never wear us. God repeats this, the same point in Genesis 12:3. In you, Abram, all the families on the earth will be blessed. So he says it again, just in case you don't know why, because Abraham actually was one of the wealthiest men in the Bible. He was so wealthy and had so many servants, had so much livestock that he had to part ways with family members because he's like, we are so overwhelming that it's causing problems within our family. Did you know that your prosperity and your blessing can cause problems within your family? I don't know about you. Maybe you're like, I've never had any to cause problems. Right? God, give me some. I want to prove Pastor Wright. You know, I always notice how, like, the family will snicker and stuff. Like, if you're, like, broke, they're like, oh, yeah, she broke or he broke and, like, talk about. But they don't spend too much time. But if you have money, they're really interested. They're really, why? Oh, I wouldn't handle it like that. Oh, did you see them here? Criticizing all of the family. Oh yeah, it was because of it was because they stole your grandfather's thing, and then, you know, they did this, they made him sign the will when he was like old, and they start coming up with all these stories why you have wealth, right? Why you are blessed. Wealth causes issues within family. It happened to Abram. But he goes, wait a minute, I don't want you to focus on that. I'm gonna make you so wealthy. I'm going to make your name so great. Again, I'm not just talking about financial wealth. I'm talking about everything. But why? So that all of the families on earth can be blessed through you. the stage that he has given you, the position in that job, the future, the conversations, the connections, those are all God-given. The family you were born into. But you're like, they have so many issues. Well, God put you there for a reason. You know, every crazy person needs a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I don't know if you're the patient or you're the doctor, but every family has them. Here's a lesson that we must learn. There is purpose behind blessing. There is purpose behind blessing. All money in the kingdom has a purpose in the kingdom, because money without motive is meaningless. When there is no motive, no godly motivation behind it, it becomes meaningless. I remember my very first job, if I'm not mistaken, was at Green Burrito. Did anybody ever eat at the Green Burrito? Got bought out by Carl's Jr. Okay, not famous at all. Okay, but I love the Green Burrito, and it was not green, right? The burrito was not green. It was really yummy. And I used to work there. One of my first paychecks, this is $4.25 was the minimum, you guys. Oh my God, they were working us hard. And I think one of my first paychecks, and this amount came to mind, and I'm pretty sure it was $183. I had $183. And when I got the job, my parents never talked to me about anything of like I had to pay for anything. So I was like, I'm rich. Dude, like my dad pays for my nails. So I'm happy there, right? There's no eyelashes in that time. So as long as I had a lip liner, because that's all we needed, a lip liner, right? Flip-flops in California, bomber jacket, your nails, $183. I was rolling. Like, you guys, I was like, oh my gosh. You know when they say your money, the money burns? Like, literally, I was like, what am I going to do with it? So I had a bright idea, you guys. And I was like, I know. Guess what I bought? A hamster. You guys, not only did I buy a hamster, I bought the whole hamster city. Have you ever bought the hamster city? I did. I had the house. I had the tunnels. I had the workout area. I had more tunnels. I had a hamster ball. I bought a hamster ball. I had enough. He's like, you want to take the ball? Do I have enough in my $183? Yes, you do. I'll take it. I'll take the hamster ball. This hamster ball, I should have brought a video. You put the hamster inside, and it could run through the house. Run through the house. Just, yes, you had to be a crazy like me. That's why we get along. Literally, we made a connection from day one, Justine and I. She also bought a hamster community. I spent my entire $183 on a hamster community. And guess what happened to the hamster? My mom's like, tell him why. So my hamster escaped from the hamster community. And he was a fugitive. And I had a waterbed. Yes. He didn't get to my waterbed, but he was underneath my waterbed. And he ate up all the carpet. And he went behind my mom's new couch and ate up her couch. So my mom one day grabbed the hamster and threw him in the trash. Yes, you did. So pray for me, everyone. My mom's like, tell him why. I already told him, Mom. I already told him. But my mom thought it would be better to throw him in a big trash can. Like, it's a big one, so there's a lot of stuff in there. So the hamster was probably happy in there. I'm not sure. Or got crushed by the truck. But anyway, the point of it, I forgive you, was this. I got $183. What did your girl do with $183? I just blew it. And it caused even more damage. Literally, it led to murder, you guys. It led to murder. Okay? Why? Because there was no true motive. I remember after a few months, my parents let me do this, like blow money, not buy more hamsters. But then my mom and my dad were like, hey, we think it'd be nice for you to start paying. It's a good idea for you to start paying for some of your insurance or doing this and that. I'm like, what? Right? But funny thing, even though I was doing it, I still was able to do other things. It's just that it gives the money direction. My point is, some of y'all live in life buying hamster communities. You know, but then you're like, God, you want 10%? Right? Yet you pay for a $6 Starbucks coffee. Everybody, yeah, every day. Everybody can, you know, handle the money the way they want. But usually, if you watch your money, remember we're going to spy on our money? If you watch your money, it's really selfish. It's really selfish. And when you do that, you let selfishness lead your home. But when you tithe and you give God first and you're like, God, like, I'm trusting you. I'm putting my 10% in your hands. But I know that 10% in your hands is better than 100% in mine. So I'm trusting you and I'm putting you first. Can I get an amen to that? Motives matter. Say with me, motives matter. They do. Mark 8:36 says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Like, you can lose everything. You can gain everything in the world. You can have it all, but yet you can lose your salvation. Why? Because of your motives. Why do you want more is my question. Why do you want more blessing? Why do you want the bigger house? Why do you want the new car? Why do you want those new clothes? Like, why do you want that extravagant birthday party, which you can have? I'm not saying you can't have it, but you need to check in your heart. You need to make sure that your heart is pure, that you're not doing it for selfish motives. Because money doesn't change people. I know you've heard it. No, it doesn't. It just magnifies who you really are. It reveals to others who you really are. There's more of it. You're a disaster with a little bit of money. You're going to be a huge disaster with a lot. You're like a little drunk with a little bit of money. You're going to be a huge drunk with a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? If you're faithful with a little, God says in his word that he will put a lot in your hands. He will bless you. Greater blessing is the same as greater responsibility. I know no one wants to tattoo this one on their face. Because responsibility is like Mufasa. It's a bad word around, right? We're like, responsibility? What do you mean, God? I just want the blessing. I want the house. I want the car. You know, I want more. I want more in my bank account. Why? There comes greater responsibility. There's more to handle. Deuteronomy 28:12 says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. What's that word there? All the what? All the work. Man, we were just liking all the blessings. What are you talking about, work of your hands? You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Work. Work. I said right now in the motivation, right, in the time, the transition for prayer partners, that you should work as if it all depended on you, but you should pray as if it all depended on God. Some of y'all just praying. Some just come to church. Some are just naming it and claiming it. But I'm going to tell you, there has to be actions. There has to be integrity in your part to say, God, I'm going to take responsibility for what you have given me. Marriage takes what? Work. Relationships take work. Business takes, you guys are depressed with the work. You're like, work, work. It takes work. Work. It's not a bad word. Turn to your neighbor and say, work. It's like Mufasa. Ooh. Work. Ooh. Right? Dave Ramsey said this. In the Bible, we find that it's actually a constant dance between our faith and God's provision. Isn't that true? We constantly have this dance. Like, where is it to where we're having faith in God to provide, but the dance to where we have faith also in the gifts that God has given us to also work and to also provide for our family. And our faith is shown when we get off our cushions, these cushions, right? And we do the work. Paul said, those that do not work, do not what? Eat. Man, I don't like that part. Well, it's in the Bible, you guys. Work. Thinking takes work. You know, some of the hardest positions to fill are not manual labor. Come on, you guys. I'm not talking about work. A lot of you guys are willing, mostly the men, be out in the hot sun. They don't care. They'll work for their family. They'll be doing all of the work. They do all the, but did you know that you actually get paid more for the thinking work? Because thinking's also work. And some of us say yes to all the manual labor, but what if you would just think also? Like, what if you said, Lord, give me an idea. Let me see a problem and let me become the solution. Let me come up with something to be the solution. Every invention is a solution to a problem. People buy it because you're like, oh my gosh, why didn't I think of that? Right, you guys? Have you ever said something or you've seen something? I'm like, I thought about that. Why didn't you invent it then? Why? Because we don't like to think, but we need to work. We need to think. We need to become the solution. We need to become the answer to someone else's prayer. Can I get an amen? And it's not just my dad. Everyone, amen. I love how Pastor Mike Todd put it. He said, in the kingdom, money requires management. Here you go with the M's, guys. Management. Management reveals your motives. The way you manage money, if you just go out and buy a hamster community, okay? Next time you're going through Starbucks, just think hamster community. Yep, hamster community. Next time you're buying the churro at Disney, just know, bought myself another hamster. Okay, bought myself an, literally, hamster community. I love Disney's churros. I always bag on them for the price, but they're really good. Management reveals motives. Motives determine multiplication. And multiplication blesses so many others. Church, we need to get past just ourselves, and we need to be generous. We need to not just think, Lord, give me more so I can have more, but give me more so that I can be more, so I can be that blessing to someone else. What happens when you have health? You can help those that are sick. What happens when you feel strong? You can help those that feel weak. What happens when you have wealth? You can help those that are in need. What happens when you have wisdom? You can help those that are struggling to find the door, right? What happens when you have the good news? You can share it with those that need to hear it. What happens with everything that we receive from God? We don't keep it for ourselves. We don't store it up. We're not a bucket. We're a pipeline. We give it. We bless other people. We become the answer to someone else's prayer. Can I get an amen? Come on. Come on, you guys. You know, so many people come and ask for prayer for things that they themselves are the solution. You know, they say, Pastor, help me pray for my marriage. And I was like, well, keep your mouth shut. Oh, what? Like, do you always talk back? That's one of my greatest struggles. Thank you. I mean, we want the prayer, but I don't want to keep my mouth shut. You know what I'm saying? I want the prayer for blessing, but do you have a budget? Oh, another bad word. Not a budget, Pastor. Responsibility and budget in the same sermon? No, this was a, you know, bad Sunday to come to church. No, it's a great Sunday to come to church. It's a great Sunday because we should. Many of us ask for prayer for things that God himself says, I already gave you the gifting for it. You become the answer. Serious question now, and with this I want to close. Are you willing to be the answer to someone else's prayer? Because we always say, and we're praying it, Lord, make me. This is something, a staple of Grace City. Lord, make me the answer to someone else's prayer. This is our staple prayer. If someone said, what defines Grace City after our, you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference? I would say that people would define our church and would remember this place as we want to become the answer to someone else's prayer. But now my question is this. Are you willing? Are you willing, or are you just wanting to get more blessing? Are you just wanting the bigger house? Are you just wanting more money for yourself? Or are you actually saying, Lord, I'm available? Like, I'm ready for you to do what you want in my life, but I really want it to make a difference in my family. Are you ready to bless whoever God asks you to bless? Are you ready to give? Are you ready to open your eyes to see the need around you? Are you ready to say, hey, you know, I know it's maybe not my problem, but this person's struggling, and since I have money set aside, my husband sets aside money. He handles our finances, but I always notice that. And the other day, he's like, I was like, do you have like dollars? He's like, I never carry dollars. You already know that. I'm like, oh, I know. I'm the one that carries dollars. Pray for me, okay? He always has 20s and hundreds. And he's like, I'm never going to give a dollar. I don't want to give a dollar. I need God to bless me enough so I could always give $20 tips. So I could always give $100 tips. I'm like, man, you need a lot of blessing for that. And he goes, yep, but God's never failed me. I'm like, oh, lesson on me, dude. Like, lesson on me and my dollars. Literally. But some of y'all, God throws you the 20s and you're like putting it all, you know, in your sock drawer and in your bra, right? You're hiding them because you're like, mine. No, mine. No, mine. But God wants to transform your thinking. God wants to transform your heart. He says, love me more than you love money. Need me more than you need more money. Desire me above all things, and I will give to you all of that which you need. That is a promise from God. Proverbs 11:24 says this, give generously and you will be richer. Be stingy and you will lose everything. Be stingy. No, mine. No, mine. Proverbs. This one, tattoo it to your face. Proverbs 11:24. If you're stingy, it doesn't say you will probably. It says if you are stingy, you will lose everything. But the generous will be richer. I want to be generous. I want to be generous in my dreaming. I want to be generous with my words. I want to be generous with my forgiveness. I want to be generous with my love. But I also want to be generous with my money, because you reap what you sow. And if you want love, right, you sow love, you will reap love. And if you want forgiveness, it says forgive others so you can be forgiven. But if what you need also is financial blessing, guess what, guys? I'm so sorry. I wish it was different, but it doesn't say sow what you reap. It's reap what you sow. You got to put something in the ground, or else you're going to be looking crazy if I'm like, oh, yes, Lord, come on, I feel it. I feel it. I feel the pear tree coming out of the stage. You'd be like, Pastor, you're crazy. Some of y'all doing that with your finances. Lord, bless me right here. Right here at Mercedes-Benz, right now. Right now at Mercedes-Benz. You're like, I'm looking at you and I'm like, you don't even tithe. You don't tithe. You guys, God says, test me, that I will open up the windows of heaven, I will pour out to you, but you must believe. And he said, and if you're generous, you will get richer. You will get more. How many cars do you really need? Would you be willing to give one? You're like, oh, she's asking for her cars. No, I'm not. I'm not asking for your cars. I'm planting a seed. Have you ever seen a young person struggling and you see them faithful and you see that, but they're missing something that you have the possibility? Maybe they're that pair of shoes in your closet. You haven't worn them in 2 years, but they cost you so much. How can you give them away? I'm just saying it because I'm that type of person. My husband opens up his closet, not because he doesn't need the clothes. The other day I was like, babe, you gave away all your pants. Like all of your pants, the ones I like. He's like, it's okay, babe. I'm going to get more. He goes, because when, usually he cleans out his closet. And he goes, usually I clean out my closet of what I don't want to wear. This time I cleaned out my closet of what I didn't want, what didn't fit me anymore, and also what I loved. Because if you're not willing to give what you love, you guys, come on. Some of y'all want to give away what is torn, what is there, forgotten. Why don't you give your best? Why don't you give your best? There's somebody in your family. There's a little cousin. There's an aunt. Maybe you have 5 comforter sets. Can you give one? Could you think of someone else except for yourself? For a week, for a day, for today, Sunday. Could you send a text to somebody that needs needs to hear words of encouragement and not just say, Lord, speak to me. No, let me be a vessel and speak to others, Lord. Let me give someone a word. Let me hug on somebody. Let me love on somebody. Let me send a gift to somebody. Let me just be a blessing to somebody else. Come on, church. Come on. So I just want to plant the seed. There's some envelopes in your place and it's Heart for the House. We have our Heart for the House. Corazón por la Casa, Heart for the House. Okay? We have these envelopes. We're going to do our tithes and offerings. This is the tithes and offerings time. If you are new here, don't feel responsible. This is not on you. This is for, you know, children of this house. We tithe. Okay? We tithe. That's on our tithes and offerings envelope. But right now, I want to speak to you about this second envelope. There's another one. There's another blue envelope there, and it has a heart on it. And I just want to plant this seed. I want to plant a seed to where we finally finish all of our classrooms back there. There's things that we even started that I don't want to say we don't have the money for because we have savings, but we're pulling out of savings that should be just for savings, right? To cover things that last year's Heart for the House didn't cover. So what do we need? We have new vision for this year. We want to do the GC Youth building, right? But we want it to be, sorry, it was on the side. There we go. So it says electricity and lights at GC Youth, drywall and taping for GC Youth, concrete GC Youth, tile GC Youth paint, large door because those doors are horrible. So one of the large doors we're going to replace for a large door. Another one we're actually canceling to do a stage over there, and we have to add another door. So we have to open up the concrete walls and put in another door there, the small door. The platform and screen, I just want to tell you, the screen and the sound system, we want to get them one of these screens, but for that room. We want them to have a full-out mini, like, chapel. Like, they're going to have their own chapel back there. So in order for us to do that, we need, you know, everyone to contribute. Computers and cables for the youth room. This is a big one. So, of course, GC Youth is a huge one, right? Let's see, where are all the youth at? Come on, that's a big one. That's a big one. And obviously, that's been in our heart for years. But I just want to say this next one is something that just, like, was dreamt up and, like, popped in and, like, crept his head and said, here I am, this is an idea. And it's a crazy one. And when I talked to my husband about it, he was like, I'm on board. I was like, really? Really? He's like, you just got to get the church on board, right? So church, I need you on board. We need, in the portable section, which is like ghost town over there, we want to redo the portables, open up them up as classrooms, and we want to do a toddler play area for the little ones, for all our little ones that we have. We have like so many little miniature people. They're like, this, like, you got people and you just squish them, and they're there. And they try to get on the big swings and stuff, but it's like too big for them, you know? And I'm like, we need to make them a space. We need to make a space just for them where they're not going to get hit by a ball. You know, they're not going to be thrown by another kid or anything like that. Like, they have their own space. You guys, we need that future park for Grace kids, toddlers, and accessories for the park. And I already saw little bikes that I wanted, like these little mini thingies, and so cute. Like, I want them just to, like, have, like, be able to dream when they're back there. Like, where it's like, oh, this is so cool. You know, stimulate all of their dreaming, their vision. Just, they're little mini people, but with big ideas. Amen? So that's what we want to do. We also need the painting and arrangements of portable classrooms, including the ramp, security cameras for Grace Kids laptop, and the mat, painting and roof repairs at Grace Kids. Grace Kids, we need lockers for storage. We still don't have those, and we're like, please. We need to put all the Crayolas and everything, scissors, everything in storage lockers. We don't have it yet. And we started our green room. Yes, I have a green room, and it was so outdated. It was embarrassing, and we're updating that. Floors, walls, lighting, bathroom, paint, accessories. So the grand total is $95,000, okay? The screen alone, I think, is like $40,000. I think the screen alone for youth is $40,000 of the budget, just so you know. You can price it if you'd like. But that's basically, and that's doing miracles. So what are we going to do? We're going to do it together, okay? We're going to do it together. I don't want to convince you. I don't want you to leave feeling guilty. I want you to take this envelope and be filled with faith and say, what can a generous mind and a generous heart put in this envelope for our kids, for our youth, for my church? So if you have it today, I'd love to take it. If you want to, you know, if you want to bring it, we'd love to bless it. If not, then I want you to take this envelope home, like I'm going to do, because I didn't bring my checkbook, and I'm going to write a check, a very serious check for what I believe is so important, because I could see the park. Like I could see your kids. I could see my grandkids. I can see them already, my grandkids playing there. I don't know about you, but I can see it. And if you can see it, I want you to believe for it with me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that is so good. We thank you that your word is timely, that it is not late and it doesn't come early. It's for the now. It's for the right now moment. I ask you to transform hearts, to speak into minds, that no one would be guilted into giving, that no one would feel obligated, that this wouldn't be some, like, you know, some building campaign. And we're, no, Lord, that it would just be a reflection of our generous heart, of our heart that says, it's all about you. You're first. You're first. I know my heart gets in the way sometimes. I know I'm the problem, but God, you're the answer. And I know that tithing's a test and giving is a test, but you also promise and you ask us to test you. And today we're going to test you. I know that you're going to open up the windows of heaven, and I know that you're going to pour out blessing over us because your word says so. I receive your blessing in Jesus' name. Lord, help us. Help us as we give. As we give our tithes and our offerings, as we give beyond for the heart for the house, help us to become the answer to someone else's prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with your family, friends, frenemies. Lord knows we all need more Jesus. Until next week.